Hello and welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Vlad.
Hi guys, I'm Nikola. We have some really cool stuff we're going to talk about this week. First big news is we're in the new setup of the old studio.
Yeah, and it's
because
actually...
Because we're too lazy to set up the new studio, so we're going to go this way.
And the studio is moving, which is awesome.
Sort of, yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, real news. The .NET Fringe conference is happening again this year. It happened last year and it's happening this year.
Yeah, it's in July.
In Portland.
Yeah, Portland
yes.
is awesome. And the biggest thing about Portland, Scott Hanselman lives there. So this is why...
So he doesn't have to travel too far?
Yes.
Just wake up and go?
This is why Scott Hanselman is one of the, I guess, organizers and one of the key speakers.
It's a community event. There's a lot of really cool speakers. And Scott Hanselman, of course, is one of them. But there's really cool speakers there. A lot of cool content. Tickets are on sale right now, and there's really cool stuff. There's also a train that goes all the way from, I believe, Vancouver down to Portland on the 9th. Mm-hmm. So if you're in any of the cities in between, you could just jump on the Geek Train and just get down to to Portland and go to the conference.
Yeah, what I like about the community-driven conferences that they actually present content they care about. It's not about like vendor presenting something, advertising something or whatever. That's just all real things. Cool. And talking about real things.
Another conference was happening this week. This conference is every week, man.
Really?
Every week. Can every we take week. A break? Just a small break?
Yeah. And talking about containers, people are doing containers like every day now. My Twitter feed is just full of containers. It's like sometimes I think that Twitter is just a big container.
When DockerCon was this week, so a lot of cool news, not just for Microsoft, but for the whole container community, all about Docker. But we did announce a lot of cool stuff around Microsoft and the stuff happening in Azure for Docker.
In Azure, in Hyper-V, so you know we support containers.
And
so
there was, like, Mark was there, Mark Yurcinovich. He has a huge blog post that he talks about all the cool stuff that we announced last year, we announced this year, our roadmap, and where we're going. I'm not going to talk about the blog post, but you can go there and read it yourself. It's very well written, and there's a lot of cool
really,
stuff.
That's Mark Yurcinovich, so there's nothing to add after him. Visual Studio. We already... we started talking about that at Build, I believe,
and
there was a few updates of new Visual Studio sort of installation experience of Dev 15. It's not Visual Studio 2015; it's Dev 15, which is technically sort of the next version. And basically, what this team does, the team behind this installation experience, they are doing mockups, right, of what they want to do. And they want your feedback on what they're going to do.
Yeah.
But eventually, it's basically fully driven by your feedback, right?
Yeah, so Team Snit has a whole blog post on Dev 15 and what are they thinking about and what are they building as part of the new Visual Studio experience. And they're building things around... The first thing they're doing is they're making the installation much leaner, so much faster, much quicker to install. And they're also letting you install only the things that you need. And they've created this workloads that you can just kind of select. So they have a little mock-ups, like you said, where you actually go through the mock-ups, so you can see what it will look like. And you can give feedback on what this will look like. And they have workloads that they've thought of from their research for a lot of things, for the web stuff, for the client stuff, so they have different kind of workloads. So it'd be good to get feedback. And they have a survey. If you go to his blog post, there's a survey, you fill out, you tell them what you think. It's a great way to design the product with the community involved.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Next thing
is competitions.
Yeah, competition, browser competitions, like an exciting thing,
what
right?
What makes it better for everybody?
Yeah, and despite that there was a lot of browsers and you can choose from different experiences and like engines and everything, there's still a competition. And the battery time these days is very important. So what
controversial too, but a lot of browsers.
Yeah, oh, very controversial, yeah. So what Edge team did, they got basically a huge test they made with several kinds of browser usage, and they selected, for example, playing video because like YouTube is very popular and all these streaming services. So they basically conducted several tests and tested how browsers do in terms of battery time. Because of course, when you're on the plane flying over the Atlantic, you want to watch your movies or whatever you do and keep some battery for.
Hopefully, you have internet while you're flying.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, Wi-Fi.
Even if you don't, it's...
You wouldn't use the browser.
You don't use the browser, yes. No. Yeah, fair, but whatever.
Anyway, but it's a good. There's a video, if you go on the blog post by Jason, there's a video, you can watch the test being run. They run it on Edge, Chrome, Opera, and Firefox. And they show the time for how long the computer will last with each browser, running a same test on the Surface Book. And the results were interesting.
Yeah, the test was very well organized. It was real with all the ads on and everything. So it's like any user would use it, not a geek. So and the results are great, right? Awesome. Make sure you read this.
Yeah. So and then, well, moving on from the browsers, now we talk about the managed code. Matt Warren has a really great blog post that he talks about the .NET garbage collector. Mm-hmm. He wanted to learn more about the .NET garbage collector, so he wrote a little tool to visualize what the garbage collector is doing. And he actually open sourced that code so people can see it. And I didn't know this, but .NET runtime actually has events you can hook into to get all these raw events of the garbage collecting doing things. So he has a really cool tool for visualizing. It reminds me of old Windows tools for defragmenting your hard drives.
Yeah, yeah.
It runs. It's really cool. But you can actually see how the garbage collector is working, collecting things, allocating things. Really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool for understanding how a garbage collector works, which is important for you if you're trying to do like performance optimizations for .NET apps. Yeah, right. This is cool, and this is really like for geeks.
The more you know, the better you write code.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's my catchphrase.
Yeah.
TM. I don't know if I can do that.
Copyright.
And
talking about .NET, there is another blog post, and we already mentioned it several times that recently .NET got full support for long paths. I mean, really long paths.
Windows did too.
Yeah, Windows had it for years. But eventually .NET got it, which is very important. Like if you do C++, you rely more like on Windows stuff than on like on libraries. With the .NET, you rely on the framework itself a lot. So basically, this post is about how .NET framework handles this long pass, what you should be aware about, basically how they deal with pass when you use different like forward and backslashes, how they simplify them, how they resolve them. It's all important because you have this .NET framework, you have a bunch of libraries that uses files and they may handle pass in a different way. So you should be aware about the changes they made apart from just support, right? Yeah. Going forward.
Cool.
MPC stuff or more personal computing stuff, ink, speech, and face recognition. There is a sample recently published by Windows team and a blog post by John Kennedy talking about this sample and the way you would use ink, speech, and face recognition in your applications.
Yeah, and they use actually more than that. They also use the cognitive services in the sample as well. So they show how you can combine the built-in client features that we have as part of the Universal Windows platform, and as well as use some of the cognitive services that are available, previously known as Project Oxford, for speech recognition, face detection, person detection. There's really cool stuff out there. So the sample does everything.
Yeah, it's a really good sample. So it's always cool when you can get something that ready and it's not very complicated. In fact, this application is very complex. So you can just copy paste something. Yeah.
And as John actually says in the blog post, the code has been generously documented. So we can learn some things from the code.
Awesome. I love that. Yeah, talking about learning from the code and actually learning how to code. On Apple's developer conference, there was like a sort of statement that they introduced the way you learn, like kids or just people in general can learn code. And they say learning code is easy. And Scott and other people, and a lot of people actually say, stop saying that learning code is easy. It's not easy. And coding is not easy. So it requires a lot of energy, it requires a lot of brain power, but it's worth it. So it doesn't mean that you shouldn't learn it. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't try to convince your kids to learn how to code, but don't expect it's going to be like this.
I like it because Scott goes through all the things that mm-hmm. why saying coding is easy. And it's not just about coding. Saying anything is easy, well, in fact, it's mm-hmm. it's maybe easy to just follow a hello world kind of thing, but yeah. actually get to go to do a real thing. It's not always beneficial to the people trying to learn because they get discouraged very easily and they not try to keep up with it, even though that you get all these benefits and it's rewarding in the long run. So he goes through some blog posts on how not just him, but a lot of people, like you said, are frustrated mm-hmm. with this. And it got my attention, and it's really cool. I learned something.
Coding is fun.
Coding is fun, and not necessarily awesome. Easy.
Yeah.
Yo, pick of the week. Now Woo-hoo! I have my pick of the week. It comes from a Russian story, from a Rush, from Sunday. The other, yes, from your part of the world.
Yes.
There was a company that was building a robot, mm-hmm. and they were doing some tests, and this was, I forget what city, is it in Moscow?
It's some city. No, it's actually Perm.
Perm, okay. It's still some big city, in the middle of the big city, mm-hmm. in this building, and then the researcher decided to kind of take a little break, but left the door open. And the robot that is doing the little robot things, beep, boop, mm-hmm. decided to, hey, the door's open. I'm going to go check out what the real world is
like. Kill old humans.
Kill. Oh, come on. Robots are nice.
Just kidding.
Well, it would. It maybe tried to kill humans, but unfortunately, it died. The battery died. It only lasted for about 100 and some feet or about 50 meters from the building. So some people took pictures with it on the middle of the street. The traffic was all messed up and people couldn't go for like half an hour, but they found it. And, you know, it was our first story of a robot trying to escape the human prisons.
Exactly,
stuff like
exactly.
That. Yeah,
the robot was definitely using Edge because like battery died so fast, man.
So you mean Chrome?
It was using Chrome, not Edge.
You said Edge.
No, it was not using Edge.
Oh, it was using Edge.
Yeah, whatever. we're gonna rewatch it and
Let's do it.
Whatever, let's move forward to my pick of the week, and this is Quake.
Oh my god,
actually,
that's
awesome. This week is 20th birthday of Quake, my favorite game. Apparently, my favorite is Quake 2, but Quake started 20 years ago. And there is a great post of John Romero explaining how it got started and what was the first like a sort of public letter about Quake and the first screenshots and how like people got excited and how they shipped eventually this beautiful game. This is like a cult. This is a very important thing in the gaming overall. Basically, the first really popular full 3D sort of shooting experience. There were some shooters before and of course after, but that was like a standard. And for a lot of people, when others say first person shooter, they have Quake popping up in their head, right?
Cool. I know you made me play Quake a while ago in the office, and mm-hmm. you keep beating me at it. So I know it's your favorite game, but I'm gonna keep practicing. And it's gonna be one day, come in, I'm gonna destroy you.
Yeah.
One day we'll come.
I'm gonna die for real.
No, not for real. Don't say that. People will believe you. Anyway, thank you everyone for joining. I hope you learned something new. I hope you have a good. If you have any questions or have any discussion, please follow the comments or add some of the comments. If not, we'll see you next week.
Yeah, have fun, code, play Quake, and keep your battery alive. Bye.
Bye.